We're going to be reading, beginning to read down the fourth seal. We have read the first, second, and third here for a few weeks. We're going to start with the fourth. We've covered the fourth. We'll review that and then on to the fifth seal today. But we will be reading down to the end of the chapter. Revelation chapter 6, beginning to read with verse 7. When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And the power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, doth thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of the heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, every free man hid themselves in the dens, in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand?" Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come and we can open your precious book. We can study it. We can read it. I thank you for the Sunday school classes as the teachers come to teach your word and to open it up and to enjoy looking at the word of God and understanding, dear Father, the times and the seasons, and how that the time is coming so soon. It could be minutes away, hours away, days, maybe years. We don't know, but we know by everything that is going on in the world today that it is soon, and we best be prepared. And so please, dear Lord, as we look through these seals as they're beginning to be opened, have us to see each part. And I know every time we study it, it shows us just a little bit more, because it is a living book. And so every time it'll apply and apply it to our own hearts differently. But I hope today, dear Father, as we look once again at these seals, that we understand the one that's opening it and the judgment that's coming and when it is coming. So please, dear Lord, just touch our hearts. Those that are here today that are lost, please, that they be saved, that they'll come by faith to you. And, dear Father, those that are saved, that will grow and begin to speak, begin to tell others about it, begin, Father, to be giving out your word, giving out your love, and not be those that just take. Please, dear Lord, touch every one of our hearts today for whatever the need may be. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We've looked at the white horse, the one that seems to bring peace. He has a bow without an arrow. He has a crown as some kind of emperor or ruler. And then we move next to the red horse, the one that takes this peace that wasn't real, but it had the appearance of peace. He takes it away. He takes it away in every way, shape, and form, and he puts into the mind and the heart of mankind an evilness, a desire to destroy each other, brutally destroy each other. And so we find that that is coming. And again, each one of these seals that are opened, the church is in heaven. We know that these things are taking place during the seven-year tribulation. And so keep that in your mind as we're looking at this. Now, the black horse, then, this black horse, it was, that's the last one, the one that's concerning famine, and it concerns the weighing of the goods, of the food, the rationing of food. There will be very little food. There will be very little, and the cost will be great. And the normal average person, middle class and the poor will go without. They will not have food to eat, and they will just spend all of their wages on food alone, because the food to buy the description here with the wheat and with the barley and the price of it, you can buy three times the barley that you can with the wheat. Only the very, very poor ever bought the barley, but it's all they could buy because it would last all week, and so they would take that and they would purchase that, so they had food. It was better than nothing. Why would you buy something very expensive to them and only have enough for a day, where you could buy the other and have enough for 3 days? Well, that's the decisions that will be made during the tribulation period for those that go into that time. The food will be scarce, and only those that are rich, oil and the wine, those that still possess wealth, great wealth, will not be touched by this. But don't worry, they will be. Don't think that they're going to be exempt from this, because they won't be. But right now, it is definitely to the middle class and the lower class. And don't forget here that what we're talking about is the seven-year tribulation. This is a time period that no one has to go into. That's the sad thing. God has not just picked a few evil people that are going to have to go into this time. There are going to be lots of good people, according to the world, good people, that are going to walk right into that tribulation period and face this time. You know, it could be a brother or sister. It could be even a parent. It could be children. It could be friends of ours. Anyone that has not come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes, the tribulation begins immediately. And so we've got a work to do, and we need to be busy at doing it. The first 3.5 years are not going to be too bad, but it's all going to be a lie so that the Antichrist can deceive, could almost deceive the elect. If the saved would walk in there, they'll see him, and he'll be so good at lying. And so multitudes will be taken by that. Multitudes will receive the mark of the beast, because it's the right thing to do. It's the proper thing to do. It will be the politically correct thing to do. And so then comes the red horse, and they will begin to see the true light of the Antichrist, his real ways. And then following that will be this great famine, and people will begin to starve to death because they'll have no food. And then the one we covered last week was the pale horse, the fourth seal. And this is the first rider that has a name, as we talked about. His name is Death. Following him is Hell. And so this rider has a name. The other three riders didn't have a name. And as we look at this time period here, we know that there'll be a day when death and hell are dealt with. And we can go to Revelation 20:14. Please, this afternoon, take a look at that. And we spoke of that last week at the close of the thousand-year reign of Christ. The owner of all these souls, all that have followed after death and hell, they will be given up by the possessors, by death and hell, but all will find themselves to the same final place. And that's the place of the fire and brimstone, the lake of fire. So if it would seem that what's going on earth at this time, all you have to do is take a look at the sixth seal and find it gets worse. But looking at this fourth seal, we find that there is more than one character involved here or instrument. We have the sword, hunger, death, and beasts. And we talked last week what that comes to, you know, as we move forwards here into the tribulation period, it does seem to become much worse. And so if you would look at it in this manner as this fourth seal is opened, first the sword comes, and those that do not die by the sword, they will continue the starvation, famine will be there. The second seal and the third seal both had these instruments, the sword and the famine. But then it's added to, and we have the beast and the death, pestilence actually, and then the beast. And so what's going to come is first the sword, and then comes famine, and following famine then will come sickness, pestilence, and following that then will come the beast, will literally come and devour what's left. You talk about a horrible death. To die by the sword would be better. But to be starved to death that you have no strength, then that always brings in the pestilence, the diseases and the sickness. And once we get to the place that we are so weak from famine and so sick from disease, we won't be able to fend off any kind of beast. And they will come and just eat away at us, and we can't do anything about it. Can you imagine? Can you recognize that time period that's going to take place during the 7 years? What does that do anything to our hearts and our minds about getting out and telling people about Jesus? This world has been through a famine before. People have starved to death before, and so maybe we've become hardened to that, and that doesn't affect us. And we have so much. We have so much that we don't recognize. We don't recognize the famine. When's the last time that we have went a full day without a meal? I had the flu a while back. Even then you had Campbell's noodle soup. Can you imagine going day after day after day and having nothing to eat? Nothing to eat. Become so starved that if someone would offer you from the table of the wine and the oil people, if they would offer you the finest meal, you're past that. You can't eat. You can't eat. But then you add from that then disease. It's pestilence. And if that's not enough, then here comes the beast from the fields in to eat what's left. Do we hate somebody so much that we don't want to tell them about Jesus? I don't think so. But how about the people that we know? People that we love, do we even tell them about Jesus with a burdened heart, with tears in our eyes? Do we tell anybody about Jesus? Do we care? Do we care? I can't imagine that our hearts have become so cold that we don't care. It's because, my friend, I think we've had it so easy for so long. We can't imagine. We say, yes, we believe the Word of God, but we really don't believe that this is going to happen. It's not going to happen. And you know what? If we want to deny this, then we'll probably shrug our shoulders and say there's no hell. Because this is a picnic compared to hell. And hell's not 7 years long. Hell's eternity. Hell's eternity. Hell's eternity. Now, having all that put into place, we come to the fifth seal. And the fifth seal changes. No longer do we have the horse and the rider upon the horse. But the fifth seal here, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Some things I believe that we need to understand before we really get into this 9th through the 11th verse with this fifth seal. We need to understand that we are the salt of the earth. You can find that in Matthew 5:13. In 5:14 in Matthew, you can find that we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. We're the hope. We're the hope to this world. Now, these here were slain for speaking the truth. We may be verbally abused. We could even be struck by something because somebody hates the Word of God so much. These people die. What has happened at the time that the rapture of the church took place? When the rapture of the church, when the church left, so did the Holy Spirit. The one that was keeping the devil down, keeping the corruption down, the wickedness down. It's hard to imagine that that's taken place right now with all the corruption and the wickedness that's going on in the world. But it is. It is. The lost people of this world are benefiting the presence of the church. Now, if the church is what the church should be, there would be a greater benefit to the lost than what there is. But because the church has become so quiet, it seems that the wickedness is growing, which we know that to be true. And we know to the end times, before the church is raptured, the question is asked, will I find anyone that is faithful? Will I find anyone that's saved? Because there's so few that know Jesus as their Savior, and so few that are serving the Lord and praising the Lord. But you need to see that something has taken place, something awful has taken place when the church left. All of a sudden, the wickedness is turned loose. Now, the Holy Spirit's still present, but in another way. He no longer indwells the believers. If someone is saved, that doesn't happen. That's the day of grace. That's the time that we live in. The salt is gone. The light is gone. At the very beginning of the tribulation period, there is not one saved individual upon this earth. Now, how do they get saved? The Scripture says, you know, without the Word, without the preacher. I don't know. I don't know how God puts His messengers here to get started, but He does. He starts right back giving out the Word of God. because you see, it is the most wicked, wicked time upon this earth. People are saved. Not large in number, but people are saved during the tribulation period. God knows how. Now, these folks that are saved, these first believers after the rapture, they will face the most severe persecution any Christian has ever faced. Ever. These believers, when I was saved, the worst persecution that I got was, oh, that's nice. The people I told didn't understand. The people I told didn't mean nothing to them. Now, is that persecution? No. But that's the worst I got. How much persecution did you receive when you got saved? When you got saved, how many people come after you to kill you? How many people stood before you and cursed you out in the name of Jesus? Used that name against you. I don't believe any of us have faced that. But you see, these saints here, the saints during this time, they are being hunted down and murdered brutally by not only the government itself, but also by the people. Because you see, there's a people here. There's a people here that have heard the Word of God. Because you see, they were lost during this time. And maybe it's somebody that you know. Maybe it'll be a family member, a family member of mine that walks into that tribulation period because they refuse to come by faith to Jesus. And when they do that, when they go in, there's going to be something that's not only happening because of the absence of the Spirit, but also there is going to be a great delusion that's going to be put upon those people. And so anyone that is exposed to the Word of God before and refused it, they will develop a great anger and a fierceness to them that matches nothing during this period of time. Because you see, they heard it. And you think they're mad now. You think they're a little bit on the crazy side now. You wait till they go into this tribulation period and they run into a Christian there. Because they will stand with a vengeance, and there's nothing that they want to do in a greater way than to murder them. Kill them. Kill them instantly. You can't stand them. That's going to be the world to the church. Now, who here was stopped this morning when we come to church? Where are you going? I'm going to church. No, you're not. You're going to jail. Who here was abused in any way? Because you come into this building to hear the Word of God. I don't believe a one. I don't believe there's a one that had a problem coming into this building. There may be a time that that'll arise, but not now. Not now. So you see, it's kind of like the famine. It's kind of like having the famine and then having the sickness and the disease and then having some beast come and eat what's left. We can't imagine that. We can't imagine the pain that's going to feel. We can't imagine that because we're of such an easy life. And so maybe we can't even understand what this is like. how that to speak the name of Jesus means immediate death. We can't imagine what that's going to be like. But we find under the altar those that did. That's what we find under the altar. I wanted to help you to see just a little bit of what these saints, this is not Stephen. This is not many that were martyred through time. This is only the tribulation saints that were martyred during the tribulation. That's all that's under this altar. So these are the saints that stood for the Word of God and knew it meant certain death when they did. And not an easy death. There's going to be such a hatred for the Word of God that they're going to, it's going to be a slow death, an agonizing death. They're going to kill the believers and have a joy out of doing it. That's what this world's going to be like during that 7 years. We have two parts here. It says, I saw under the altar the souls that were slain for the Word of God and for the testimony which they held. This bitter persecution, because no longer is the church present, the Holy Spirit that empowered the church is gone, and so wickedness is just everywhere. So we have that. Now we have folks that are getting saved. And when they get saved, this persecution comes. And if you'll please go with me to 2 Thessalonians, we're going to read 12 verses of Scripture there. And I want you to turn there with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I want you to follow along as we start with the first verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by the word, nor by the letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, and they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The turning point there is the end of verse 7, until he be taken out of the way, and that speaks of the Holy Spirit. That's the rapture of the church. So if you want to mark that in there at the end of verse 7, until he be taken out of the way, that's when the church leaves. That's when the Holy Spirit is taken from this earth. And we see the things that are taking place there. We see the strong delusion that it speaks of. We see why that these are damned is because they will not believe the truth, the Word of God. God wants no one to be lost. He wants all to be saved, all to be saved. And that old devil already has brought a falseness to Christianity that deceives so many. That deceives so many. And so we need to be in prayer for our folks that we know, be in prayer for folks that we meet on the street, be in prayer for everyone that God will open the door, that we can share the gospel, or someone that can share the gospel, that they be saved. And there's a second part to this as we go back to Revelation chapter 6. There's a second part to that because it says there that they were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, you think of that testimony being telling people that Jesus saves, and that's exactly right, that Jesus saves. You've got to come by faith of the Lord Jesus. But you see, that was only part of their teaching. That was only part of their preaching. Because you know what they're telling these people? That there's a kingdom coming. There's a king coming that's going to rule and reign. Well, when the king hears that, the king on earth, the Antichrist, when the followers of the Antichrist hear that there's another king coming, and he's going to rule and reign, and we will rule and reign with him, they're saying, it makes them all the more angry. So you see, at this time, they're crying, Jesus saves. You come. His kingdom is coming. Be ready for His kingdom. His kingdom is coming here on earth. Be ready for His kingdom. That's what they're saying. And for that, they have been taken out and brutally beaten and murdered. And we find that as they come and as we close this section and close this message, the cry comes out from them, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" You know, we live in a time of grace. And a time of grace is something that gives someone another opportunity. If someone asks for your coat, what are we to do? We're to give them our overcoat or our cloak. That's the stage of grace. That's a time of grace. That's what we live in right now. But this is a different dispensation. This is a different time now. We're in the tribulation period. And these saints have died for the name of God. They have died because they have proclaimed the kingdom is coming. And they want justice now. And they want to know how long. And it's a rightful question. How long? How long is the question? How long is it going to be till, God, you bring justice to this world? How long are you going to condemn and destroy the wicked in this world? Now, to us, we just keep trying. They slap us on the cheek, we turn the other cheek. We just keep going and keep going and keep going, trying to tell them about the love of Jesus. But at this time, the price that these people have paid for the name of Jesus and the preaching of the truth, they have a legitimate question. How long? And God does not rebuke them in any way, saying, "Don't you desire that others be saved?" They had a good question. But as many times when we have a good question, we ask something of the Lord, it's not that the question is bad, it's the timing's not quite right. It's the same thing here. It was the same thing here. He said, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, doth thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" God gave them white robes, kind of showing the approval of the question. And it was said to them that they should rest just for a little season, their fellow servants also, and their brethren, that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. There's going to be more to come. Some believe that this first group is all Jews. The second group are some Gentiles that were saved, but they died the same way because they preached the same thing. They preached Jesus saves and the kingdom's coming. That's what they preached. Well, great news. Same message we're to preach. Jesus is coming. Jesus saves. The kingdom's coming. That's what we should be telling those folks that we know and folks that we're around. It's going to be a little longer. And why did God put that a little longer? Because He wants one more saved. Even through the tribulation period, even knowing those saints are going to have to die such a horrible death. But you know what that horrible death, what that's doing to the lost? The lost, when they partake in brutally killing the saints, killing the messenger of the best word that they could ever hear, that's also recorded. And they'll pay that debt. And they'll pay that debt through eternity. Do we understand the sword? Do we understand famine? Do we understand disease? Do we understand the beast coming to get us? Do we understand that during this time here, there's going to be such an awful time to be called a Christian? That the people they talk to, they try to witness to, most of them are going to have this great delusion and they're not going to understand. They're not going to want it. They're going to hate it, despise it, and kill you for it. Do we understand that? Do we understand this awful time? We need to be busy. We need to take the love of God out. We shouldn't desire that anyone go into this tribulation period. Now many have heard the Word of God and heard the Word of God and heard the Word of God and denied it and shut it out. If they live during this time, they will go through this. But those that maybe we haven't even told, they too will go through this because we didn't give them the Word. We didn't show them the Word. We didn't tell them that Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. He's come. Please come. Wonderful Word. Precious Word. We need to be messengers. We need to be busy. Between now and next Sunday, you read the 12th through the 17th verse. That's as real as what we've already covered. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank and praise You for the day that we can come and open up Your precious Word. But so often, dear Father, with your grace, with Your love, with Your kindness, with Your wisdom, we just keep taking and taking and taking, and we don't give. You've given it to us that we can give it to someone else. That's why we have it. Everything that You've given to us, we should have a desire to give to someone else, that through that they would receive the saving grace, Your love, salvation would come to their hearts, and they would begin to live and to walk and begin to share themselves that great news with others. I ask, dear Lord, that You'll burden our hearts. Make us a praying people. A studying people upon Your Word. Have us to be good students. A person should not be a student all of their life. There should be a time that they stop being a student and start being a teacher. But we know the teacher continues to learn. But they stop just sitting and listening, and they begin to give. We should do the same. Father, please just touch our hearts. The lost salvation, the saved, wake us up. Burden our hearts for the lost. Time is so short. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your hymn books and turn to page 220.